بالله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. In the name of the Almighty Lord, we praise Him, we seek His assistance, we beseech His forgiveness, we take refuge of Allah Ta'ala from the evil of our souls and our evil actions. He whom the Almighty Lord guides know that no one out there can ever misguide. And he who the Almighty Lord misguides, know, my beloved sisters, that no one can ever, ever guide this person. I bear witness without any compulsion that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, ascribing no partners unto him. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad ibn Abdullah Ibn Abd al-Muttalib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the slave and the last messenger to all humanity. Can you hear me? Alhamdulillah. The Almighty Lord has blessed us by creating us in such a favored nation, not only as Muslims, but also as part of the greatest nation that walked this earth, Ummat Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Almighty Lord has set boundless examples for all of us to follow. Examples in the form of great, powerful, righteous, faithful, pious women. Women who led their lives for the sole purpose of pleasing Allah. Powerful, courageous, strong woman, where neither temptation nor any form of torture could lead them ever astray. And know, my dear sisters, that Islam is filled with many, many Muslimat, Mu'minat, Muhsinat, Qanitat, Salihat, righteous women who completed their faith, their taqwa of Allah. Just look at the Sahabiyat, those great women, the female companions of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are in reality are your ancestors. They were the greatest women in Islam and were one of the main reasons for this great nation to be where it is today. They enjoined good, forbade evil, and they raised the flag of La ilaha illallah to be the Most High. My sisters, their way, their examples, their way of life should be the coolness of your eyes and the contentment of your hearts. All of them, wallahi, all of them were strict adherents of no other than La ilaha illallah, strict adherents of Islam. The same Islam that today is being labeled as the backward Islam, the oppressive Islam. And they are calling, which you are witnessing today, for the liberation of the Muslim woman, believing that Islam is oppressing you, incarcerating you, that you are following a path or a religion that is backwards. So they want you to be liberated, they claim. Liberated. But liberated from what? You ask the question, liberated from what? From Allah? From Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Liberated from the Quran and Sunnah? Liberated from Jannah, eternal salvation? Liberated from the deen that Allah has chosen for you? Is this what they call liberation? And liberation to what? They want you to be liberated from this precious jewel, and into what? They want you to be liberated from Islam to nudity, to flirtatiousness, to sexual promiscuity, to being like a merchandise, a commodity that is easily played with in transactions, in dealings, placed on the billboard of every corner of streets, of every part of the globe. They want to sell you. That is their liberation. Liberation from the path of light to the path of darkness. Liberation from the path of Allah to the path of the accursed, rejected devil. That is their liberation. But know something, that our ancestors, those female companions, they raised the flag of La ilaha illallah. And they believed in La ilaha illallah. And that was their liberation. And thus the Almighty Lord says about them, radiallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased with them and they with Him. To us, these women are ideal and the right interpreters of Islam. They are on the right path of Islam. They are the right models for us to adopt and follow and love. We should agree with them. We should emulate these pure and chaste ladies. Wallahi, they should be and only be our role models and examples in the life of this world. No other. No other. They are our examples and no other. Inni subhanallah al-azim. If you ask many people today in the West, or even many poor sisters or weak sisters, you know, you ask, who do we take our role models from? Where do we find these role models? Do you find them in Cosmopolitan? Or do you find your role model or your example in New ID or TV Week or the so-called Dolly magazine? Is that where we take our example from? From such evil, negative promiscuity, nudeness, obscenity and indecency? Do we take our role models, our examples, to be our way of life from this devil, these devil magazines? Or do we take our role models from no other than the sacred, noble, uncreated word of Allah? My dear sisters, our role models come from no other than the Quran. Have you not heard the story of the great Mu'mina that the Almighty Lord mentions in the glorious word of His? This Mu'mina, this believer, who stood with her baby over the fire. And the story is known. It's the famous story of the boy and the king. And I'm pretty sure all of you have heard the story of the boy and the king. When the entire village became Muslim by the death of that young boy. Because when the king threw his arrow, struck his arrow, only after he said, Bi-Idhnillah, Bismillah, Rabbul Ghulam, he was able to kill this child in the name of Allah. When everyone witnessed this, they all embraced Islam, who those were of the onlookers. So this evil king commanded an enormous fire to be kindled. And all of those who would not recant or denounce their faith in Allah were to be thrown into this fire. So they started throwing these believing servants of Allah who believed in Allah. Anyone that did not denounce La ilaha illallah was thrown into this bottomless pit of fire. Until they reached a lady, a woman, who was carrying a breastfeeding or a suckling child in her arms, in her hands, a young tender child. She reached the brink, the edge of the pit, and nothing before her except fire, burning, scorching, raving fire. So she was a bit reluctant and hesitant, not because of her faith, no, but due to the child's weakness and innocence. When she looked at him, she considered turning back. But Subhanallah, who gave us the senses and who gave us the ability to converse, to speak. At that time, the Almighty Lord allowed and commanded the child in her arms to speak. And the baby said to her mother, his mother, who was reluctant to throw herself in the pit, he said to her, "What are you waiting for, mother? What are you waiting for, mother? Go forward. Go forward, for you are on the truth," he said to her. Allahu Akbar. "Go forward, for you are on the truth." And then, her and her baby, she threw herself in the fire. But what fire is this? It is no more than throwing yourself in the pit of mercy, of coolness. For indeed, they believed in Allah Ta'ala. But you can see this woman who had that courage, that strength, that love for Allah Ta'ala. She did not recant or denounce or decline La ilaha illallah, no matter what her enemies were to do to her. Even when she was on that edge, she had her child, she was going to throw herself in there. The only reason she was going to withdraw is due to the tender age of that child. For indeed, as the Almighty Lord says, and she knows this, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, istajibu lillahi walirrasooli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Wa'alamu anna allaha yahoolu bayna al-mar'i wa qalbi wa annahu ilayhi tuhsharun. O you who believe, give your response to Allah and His Messenger when He called you to that which shall give you life. And know that Allah comes between a man and his heart, and that it is He to whom, wallahi, O sisters, it is only He to whom you shall all be gathered. You shall all be gathered. And subhanAllah, when they got thrown into that fire, where are they going? Where are they going? You're going to die one day. Imagine dying in a state of sacrificing your body for Allah Ta'ala, of remaining steadfast and firm and strong, and not recanting or denouncing La ilaha illallah, no matter what happens to you, no matter what surrounds you, no matter what people say to you. You know, we have many sisters and brothers out there today that they're not being thrown in the fire, But they're being told you cannot do this, you cannot do that. And because of their desire of this and that, they would compromise, they would water or dilute their faith in order that they don't lose this or that. This woman, this lady, this mu'mina threw herself in the fire with her son in chase of Allah and to be gathered before Allah. Allahu Akbar. My dear sisters, Allah and His Messenger are calling you to life. Dear sister, reply to Allah and His Messenger. Another example, another role model, another great, great woman who was a mu'mina, who was a truthful, righteous, pious, faithful, and a real slave and servant of Allah, is no other than Asiya bint Muzahim. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, as one of the best models for all women to emulate. Wallahi, she was the example of supreme sacrifice. Supreme sacrifice. And in a narration collected by Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, narrated by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, many amongst men reached the level of perfection, but none amongst the women reached this level except Asiya, Fir'aun's wife, and Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Asiya, her iman in Allah thrived. It boiled. It rose towards the heavens. And who was she under? Who was she under the control of? She was under the control or under the shadow of someone who said, I am your Lord Most High. A'udhu billah. She was the wife of one of the most powerful, arrogant, and tyrant rulers of Egypt. By marrying Fir'aun, Asiya herself became the queen of Egypt. She gained everything that she wanted in this worldly life. You know, she had the best of clothes, the best of food, palaces, jewels, servants, maids, beauty, status, position, everything. But for a believing servant, my dear sisters, for a believing servant in Allah, wealth, beauty, status, position was not the main criterion of human excellence. She realized that without faith in Allah, a human being has nothing, is useless, is worthless. SubhanAllah. So when she tasted the sweetness of Iman, this powerful woman, when she tasted the sweetness of Iman, these so-called luxurious items became a thorn by her side, and not only did she reject them, but also endured all sorts of sufferings, tribulations, atrocities, hardships by the hands, the evil, tyrant hands of her own husband. Why? Purely for the sake of Islam. Only because she said, La ilaha illallah. For wallahi, when news reached Fir'aun of his wife's iman and her stability and her firmness and her steadfastness, he immediately started beating her and beating her severely, and likewise he commanded his guards, his soldiers, not only to beat her but to take her out in the scalding midday heat. They tied her hands and feet and they beat her and beat her perpetually. But subhanallah, while she was being beaten, Severely. Who did she turn to? Did she say, "Ya Fir'aun, please enough. Please forgive me. I denounce. I recant my faith." No, wallahi, she didn't. In this state, which she believed was mercy, she turned to no other than Allah. She prayed, as mentioned in Surah At-Tahrim, قَالَتَ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. She said, while she was in this position, being beaten, being severely tortured, she looks up in the sky, "My Lord, build for me a home with you in paradise. Save me from Fir'aun and his deeds, and save me from the transgressive evil people." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It's been mentioned or narrated that when she was in this state, when she actually asked Allah Ta'ala to build her a house in paradise with him, Allahu Akbar, it's been mentioned that when she was in this state, lying down, being perpetrated against with the worst atrocities, the sky opened for her. And she saw her home in paradise. Allahu Akbar. When she was in this state and she asked Allah to build a house for her in paradise, it's been mentioned that the sky opened up for her and the Almighty Lord allowed her to see her home in paradise. And while she was being severely punished, she started smiling. Subhanallah. She is being punished, no, severely, and yet she's got a smile on her face. Now when the guards, the soldiers that are beating her, they saw this and they were astonished. She's being tortured and she smiles. But Fir'aun, alayhi ma yastahiqu min Allah, frustrated, agitated, irritated, angry, cranky at his wife's situation, he commanded a boulder to be brought and dropped on Asiya to crush her to death. But it's been mentioned that Allah took her soul, her pure, righteous, sweet soul, before the boulder was brought, and she became an example for all the believing men and women to the end of time. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story. And her example, my beloved sisters, her example is in the Quran. It is read every day by thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslims all around the globe. And they will continue reading this beautiful example to the end of days. What an honor. What an honor. What a role model. What firmness in La ilaha illallah. In Subhanallah. She was the wife of the most arrogant, corrupted, evil, mischievous, wicked king. Fir'aun is known. Yet Subhanallah, she held so strongly on that which she believed. And that was no other than La ilaha illallah. Dear sisters, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are calling you to life. Are calling you to life. Dear sister, reply to a Jannah, to a paradise as wide as the heavens and the earth. For indeed, paradise is for believers, not only for men. As people claim, you know, whenever you hear in a lot of sermons, you will think that paradise is only for men. Garbage. Gibberish. Absolutely not. The majority of verses, just about all of them, always refer to those that believe, men and women. Men and women. And the only price for paradise is simple, is easy. To be like these women is belief in Allah, love of Allah, His Messenger, and the obedience to Allah and His Messenger. And you will be, insha'Allah ta'ala, like the mother of that pit of fire. And you will be like Asiyah bintu Muhazzim, insha'Allah ta'ala. These are women, and they deserve paradise. And there are many other women. Let me mention another example to you. Another example is Maryam bint Imran. She is one of the most noblest women in Islamic teachings. And she was chosen to miraculously give birth to no other than Isa alayhi salam, the messenger of Allah. When the angel approached Maryam with the news that she has been chosen by Allah, you know, Allah chooses whom He pleases. And in this situation, He chose Maryam bint Imran to carry one of His messengers who is still alive and who will remain alive until Allah wills, and who will come back to this earth as a major son of the hour for 40 years, and then he will die and then get buried like any other Muslim. And then inshaAllah ta'ala, not long after that, the hour will be established. So Maryam alayhi salam was chosen by the Almighty Lord to bear the child whose name will be Isa, who will be born miraculously without a father. You know, when she actually got this information, you know, she felt worried, distressed, or you can say perplexed. She said, "How shall I have a boy and no man has yet touched me, nor have I been unchaste?" You know, to her, being a human being, it's only logical. How can I have a boy when no man has touched me, nor am I a person who's unchaste? And then the Almighty Lord commanded her to go to a place to isolate herself. And she was alone. This is the story cut very short and very brief. She was alone when the throes of childbirth compelled her to take a refuge by the trunk of a palm tree. And right then, when she was in the state of labor, Isa ibn Maryam was born. And immediately he talked to his mother and relieved his mother. He called out to his mother, "Grieve not. Surely your Lord has made a stream to flow beneath you and shake towards you the trunk of the palm tree. It will drop on you fresh, ripe dates. So eat, drink, and refresh your eyes." She was also told, "If you see the people of your community, do not worry about their questions. Just say that you have made a vow and that you shall not speak to any person today." This is the faith in Allah Ta'ala. She believed in Allah Ta'ala. She believed in what Allah Ta'ala told her. So when she goes back to her people, no matter what they say, obviously they're going to sort of label her. They're going to accuse her with the worst allegations. And they did. So when she came back to her people with a baby in her hands, Isa, they said, "Oh Mary, yeah Maryam, surely you have done a strange thing. Your parents were not unchaste people." You know, subhanAllah, immediately they accused her. Well, obviously, a woman's coming back on her own. She has not married. She's not unchaste. Her parents were chaste people. So where did she get this child from? They were curious. And they started accusing her. Of prostitution, wa'udhu billah. And then the story cut short. She pointed towards the baby. And they responded, "You think we're silly? How can we speak to our child in the cradle?" At the moment, the Almighty Lord again, who makes everyone speak, or whom He pleases speak, Jesus alayhi salam, Isa, by the power of Allah, started to speak to them. And He said, "Surely I am the servant of Allah. He has given me the book and made me a prophet. He has made me blessed wherever I may be. He has enjoined on me to pray, to give charity so long as I live, and to be dutiful to my mother. He has not made me insolent or unblessed. So peace upon me on the day I was born, on the day that I shall die, and on the day I shall be raised back to life. And this is the story of Maryam, another strong, powerful, courageous woman who did not fear or waver when her community addressed her or confronted her with the worst, worst allegations. You know, today again you hear these rumors out there, Muslims this, Muslims that, Muslims doing this, Muslims doing that, look at this ninja dressed from top to bottom in black, you know, labels and labels and labels and mockery and mockery and mockery. Who cares? Who cares? We know that we are on the path of truth. We know that we are on the path of Allah. Let those evil utterances not at all affect you. Wallahi. Let not those evil utterances affect you. You are a believer. You are a mu'min. You are a Muslim. You are a muhsin. You are a qanit. You are a slave of Allah. And you will be judged only by Allah, not by those evil, filthy, scummy, abominated people. And understand that. So the Almighty Lord again, dear sisters, through this example and this great woman, He called you. He called you to a Jannah, a paradise, in that which no ear has heard, no eye has seen, and no heart has ever imagined. Allahu Akbar. Another example of a role model from the Quran who expressed a strong sign of faith in her Lord. You all know this beautiful woman. Her name is Hajar, the wife of the father of all prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, subhanAllah, this example is you can say, the example. I will call it the example. She can be the role model. Think about it. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the prophet, he was commanded by his Lord to leave Palestine and go where? And to go to Mecca. But not as you know Mecca now. Mecca then was in between two mountains. It was a valley. It was barren. There was no life. There was no food. There was no water. There was no green plants or trees or anything. There was no water streams. There was nothing. It was dead. That was Mecca that Ibrahim was commanded to take his wife Hajar and his son Ismail and leave them there. Think about it. He was commanded to take them to this barren, lifeless valley in Mecca with nothing there. So, obviously being a prophet, a believer, he did not hesitate. He immediately replied to Allah's command and fulfilled his obligation, carried his son, carried his wife, all the way to the barren valley of Mecca from Palestine. He placed them, he sat them down in that barren valley, and then he turned his back away from them and started walking. You listen carefully here, wallahi, this should be written in gold. He turned his back away from them and started walking. Now when Hajar, not knowing what's going on, because she did not ask, where are we going? Why are we going? What are we doing here? Nothing. When she got there, and she got placed there, and she saw her husband, Ibrahim alayhi salam, turn his back away from them, and started walking back towards Palestine, then she said, yeah, Ibrahim, where are you going? And then she asked again, yeah, Ibrahim, in a loud voice, Allahu amaraka bihada? Allahu amaraka bihada? That did Allah command you to do this? To leave us here in this barren valley? With one single word, he said yes. Naam, he said yes. And that was all, wallahi, that was all she needed. She wanted from him the answer to her question. And she did not argue with him. She did not rebuke him or rebuttal him immediately. If that is the case, she said, for indeed Allah will never ever leave us. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. You know, what an example. Left alone in a place, in an area, lifeless, no one there. There's no life, no plants, no animals, no humans, no rain, no water, nothing. All she had was the little bottle of water that she had with her and a little bit of food she carried with her, and that was it, period. But she had something that which was worth much more than all of that. Wallahi, she had faith. She had iman. She had taqwa in Allah. She knew with full certainty that the Almighty Lord is the one that provides. Is the one that provides sustenance and provisions. And if He commanded this, then surely He will not leave us. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So she was left in that emptiness place, nothing or no one but a little baby to look after. And there she stayed, and she remained until the Almighty Lord, after proving her faith to Allah, He blessed her with a will which is known to all humanity, Muslim and non-Muslim, a well that is still being drunk from that time, the time that the angel hit his wing, Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, onto the ground, and thus a well of water came spilling out, gushing forth. And wallahi, Muslims to this day, and to the end of days, they will be drinking from this well. And subhanAllah, imagine this faith. Imagine this faith. Today, for example, you see many people, you know, they live with their husbands or with their parents or whatever. You know, they say, we haven't got this, we haven't got that, we need this, we need that. And in reality, they need nothing. What they need is, wallahi, to be induced with taqwa, to be induced with faith. They do not need anything but that. But yet they whinge, they are cranky, they are angry, they are nursing grudges, and all the time, we need, you need nothing but iman. You need nothing but iman. You need nothing but to follow the example of Hajar, to follow the example of Asiya, or Maryam, or the mother of that pit. That is what you need. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Again, the Almighty Lord, my beloved sisters, is calling you to a paradise as wide as the heavens and the earth. Please reply. Please reply. It is there before your very eyes. Let us turn back the pages of history. If you turn back the pages in history, you will find that the first Muslim, the first Shaheed, the first martyr was not a courageous man, was not a bodybuilder, was not a male, but the first Shaheed, the first martyr in Islam was no more than a strong, courageous, powerful, faithful, truthful woman by the name of Sumayyah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sumayyah, the mother of Ammar, the wife of Yasir, who suffered all types of tortures. You know, when Abu Jahl, that evil, obscene man, Abu Jahl, and Abu Jahl, subhanAllah, fits his name perfectly, because Abu Jahl in Arabic means in English, the father of ignorance. He is the father of ignorance. This is his name in Arabic. This is the way it's rendered into English. Meaning the father of ignorance. When he heard of Sumayyah and Yasir and Umar, the whole family, when he heard of their Islam, he whipped them. He severely tormented them. He put them out in the midday sun and whipped and whipped and whipped, and they were strongly persecuted from the time they embraced Islam to the time they almost died, especially Sumayya and her husband Yasir. Subhanallah. At the time of their persecution, the time of their punishment, a messenger would come to them and give them the glad tidings by saying to them, while they were in the state of persecution, the state of being punished by these evil men, a message came to them, a message, wallahi, came to them. It's an authentic narration. A message came to them and would say, "Isbiru ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah." I repeat, "Isbiru ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah." Be patient. Be patient, O family of Yasir, for indeed you have been promised paradise. That was the message that came to them. Be patient. No matter what happens to you, O family of Yasir, O Ammar, O Yasir, O Sumayya, be patient, for indeed Allah has promised you paradise. Allahu Akbar. One day, the father of ignorance, Abu Jahl, he was beating and beating Sumayya severely. He was telling her, denounce La ilaha illallah, recant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, decline Islam, and obey Allah wal Uzza. And he continued saying this to him. He continued saying this to Sumayya. Recant, denounce La ilaha illallah. But did she? A'udhu billah. Her faith in Allah was powerful, was strong, was firm. Wallahi, nothing could waver it. Nothing could water it. Nothing can dilute it. And instead, she said, La ilaha illallah. The more he punished her, the more she was saying, looking towards the sky, towards Allah Ta'ala, and saying, La ilaha illallah. And while she was burning underneath that sand, looking up to the sky, La ilaha illallah. And then this father of ignorance, the father of evil, he speared her right through the midsection of hers. And thus, she wallahi became the first martyr, shaheed, in this entire ummah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Wouldn't you like to be the example, or let her be your example in life? Would you not like her to be your role model? Now, how, you may ask, how can she be my role model? It's a question that may be asked. How can she be my role model? Easy, simple, in the most simplistic terms, meaning you follow her ways, you do not waver, you do not dilute or water your faith, you stand firm, you stand firm with a strong stance and steadfast and strong upon La ilaha illallah. You do not let anyone around you, whether in your family, in your relatives, in your cousins, in your so-called friends, in your community, Muslim, non-Muslim, ever affect your deen. You know what you have to do, then you do it. You know what you have to do, then you do it. For indeed there is no disobedience to Allah when it means disobedience to... Sorry, there is no disobedience to Allah when it means disobedience to the creation. In other words, لَا تَعْتَ لِمَخْلُوقِ فِي مَصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. There is no obedience to creation when it means disobedience to the creator of creation. Allahu Akbar. Again, my dear sisters, the Almighty Lord is calling you to a paradise. A paradise. A jannah. Al-Firdaws al-A'la. As wide as the heavens and the earth. Reply. Reply. You know, these people were ill-treated only for one reason, and that is their strong belief in Allah Ta'ala. Dear sisters, the Almighty Lord has told you what He wants from you, has showed you what He wants from you, has imposed upon you the obligations, has warned you to keep away from the prohibitions, You can never come and say, Wallahi, I don't know. There is no excuse. You must recognize the obligations. You must recognize the prohibitions. You must recognize Allah. You must recognize His Prophet. You must recognize Islam and thus apply that which is in it. And you will be, inshaAllah ta'ala, like this perfect, excellent, courageous woman. Let me mention to you another powerful and faithful lady who received the dua for the Prophet's companionship in paradise. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Imagine that the Prophet gave her the glad tidings of being with him in paradise. What more of an honor can you get? And I am pretty sure you've heard of this courageous woman. She is no other than Nasibah or Nusaybah bint Ka'b, known to all of you by Ummarah. Ummarah. She was given the beautiful title of the Prophet's Shield at Uhud. The Prophet's Shield at Uhud. She won the title. Why? Because she was a warrior. She was a courageous, brave, fighting warrior. She was among the only few devoted followers of Muhammad Sallam who stayed to protect him when the majority ran away in the Battle of Uhud. You know, when the battle became very intense and it was at its strongest, at its fiercest, what happened? Many companions, many fled and leaving Muhammad Sallam in the midst of combat. She, when she saw this, she ran. She ran with her bow and arrows. She ran with her sword to shield the man that she loved so dearly, because she loved Allah so dearly. So she went to shield him. She shielded her beloved teacher with her body, using her sword and her bows and her arrows. She, wallahi, was attacked from all sides by horsemen, but she never ever wavered nor ever felt fear. You know, after the battle, she was asked, you know, subhanAllah, you fought courageously, Ya Umm Ammarah. You know, what gave you that sort of energy? SubhanAllah. She said, if they had been on foot as we were, we would have trounced them, Allahu willing. Allahu Akbar. This is a female companion. Look at this courageousness of hers. When she was asked about her fighting, she said, because they were on horseback. They were fighting on horseback, and there she is with her body, with her flesh and her blood and her meat. Nothing but a sword and bow and arrow. She was protecting. She was the shield of Muhammad ﷺ. She said, if they were fighting on foot, we would have tramped them, have trounced them, have destroyed them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Look at that power. Look at that courage in this woman. No wonder why she was given the title, the proper shield at Uhud. She, wallahi, deserved it. She deserved it. Allahu Akbar. Radiallahu ta'ala anha. You know, subhanAllah, she was prepared to lose her life. Why? For one reason, to save the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he, Muhammad sallam, admired. He admired her sense of sacrifice and commended her when he said, who can endure like that of Ammarah? And now when Ammarah saw this reaction from her beloved teacher, sallam, she made the best of it. She earnestly requested, Ya Rasulullah, ask Allah to make us your companions in the garden. SubhanAllah, she didn't ask him, say, ask Allah to get us a nice house, or a nice camel to ride on, or a beautiful stallion to ride, or some nice cattle, or some nice sheep. No! She asked, ask Allah to make us your companions in the garden. And so he said, oh Allah, make them my companions in the garden. And this was the desire of Ammarah, to which she replied, I do not care what afflicts me in this worldly life. Allahu Akbar. You know, after being blessed with such a dua, she said, I do not care I do not care what afflicts me in this world. As long as I have the pleasure of Allah, as long as the Prophet is doing dua for me and the companionship of him within the garden, what more can I ask for? What more can I get in this life and the next? Allahu Akbar. And the same lady, I am pretty sure you all know, she fought against a false liar, Musaylama al-Kadhab. And subhanAllah, in that battle when she was fighting, you know, the battle of Yamama it was known as, in Yemen, when she was fighting this lying apostle who believed that he claimed prophethood. Actually, he claimed prophethood. His name was Musaylama. And he married, you know, subhanAllah, he married a lady called Saja, and she also claimed prophethood. SubhanAllah. Two of them. Musaylama was his name. He was known as Musaylama al-Kazzab. Musaylama the liar, in other words. He claimed prophethood. And he married a woman who likewise claimed prophethood. SubhanAllah. So both of them were married, and they probably also wanted their children to claim prophethood as well. A'udhu billah. So she fought in this battle. Umar as well fought in this battle. And we haven't got time to tell her the story, to tell a story about her. But she in that battle suffered at least a dozen wounds and lost an arm in that battle. She lost an arm in that battle. She also, subhanAllah, fought in many other battles. She fought in the battle of Hudaybiyah, the battle of Khaybar, Hunayn, and much more. SubhanAllah, she is a role example, an excellent example for all, wallahi, Muslim ladies, and even Muslim men, to emulate in their lives. SubhanAllah. Again, my dear sisters, look at this example. See these courageous women. And there are many like her. You know, many female companions. Look at the likes of Atiyah, who fought in 7 battles. Look at the likes of Salim, who fought in the battle of Hunayn. The likes of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, who demonstrated in the battle of Al-Ahzab, wallahi, brilliant military strategy. Look at the battle of Yarmouk, where Asma bint Yazid killed 9 enemy soldiers. This is a woman. She killed 9 enemy soldiers. Likewise, we all know the story of Al-Khansa and many, many, many other examples of courageous, powerful warriors, female warriors who loved Allah Ta'ala, who loved the Prophet ﷺ from the depths of their heart, and they would do anything to uphold Islam, no matter what surrounded them, no matter what happened to them, no matter what they were accused of. They always kept strong with full conviction and firmness on La ilaha illallah. All of them displayed extraordinary valor. Allahu Akbar. Again, my beloved sisters, again, the Almighty Lord is calling you to a paradise as wide as the heavens and the earth. So reply, reply. Examples and examples of powerful, believing, righteous women who can serve as your role models. We'll mention a couple more. I know time is passing so quickly, and we've always mentioned it is one of the minor signs of the hour. So we'll mention, inshallah, a couple more so I will not bore you. And I'm pretty sure you cannot get bored with these examples. Allahu Akbar. We can go all night and all day and all night and all day. And the more we talk about, inshallah, the more faith gets instilled in our hearts. Walillahi alhamd. We all know the great lady who was named Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Did you know, sisters, that this pure, chaste woman was greeted by Allah? Allahu Akbar. Khadija bint Khuwaylid was actually greeted by Allah, and who became the queen of the Prophet's heart. She became the queen of the Prophet's heart, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In a narration collected by Al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail, Jibril alayhi salam, Gabriel, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "O Allah's apostle, this is Khadija coming to you with a dish having soup in it. When she reaches you," this is Jibril telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "when she reaches you, greet her." Listen carefully. "Greet her on behalf of her Lord," that is Allah. "And likewise, greet her on my behalf," that is Jibril. So Allah greeted her first, And then Jibril greeted her. And then he told him, and give her the glad tidings of having a Kasab palace in paradise, where there will be neither any noise nor any fatigue. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful narration. What an honor it is for Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Allahu Akbar. And this narration is in the most authentic book after the Quran, Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. There is no shadow of a doubt, there is no dust on it regarding its authenticity. She was greeted by Allah the Almighty, and then greeted by Jibril alayhi salam, and then promised or given the glad tidings of having a Kasab palace in paradise where neither there is any noise or fatigue. But what made her? What made her receive this honor? What made her receive this palace in Jannah? As no one can imagine, what? Was it her business dealings? No, it wasn't. What was it? Dear sisters, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam received the message, the revelation, listen carefully. She was the first to accept his teachings. She was precise in following her husband and supporting him, even if it meant that she had to suffer. For indeed, wallahi, she followed Islam, word by word, letter by letter, without the slightest deviation, without thinking or arguing or saying, but this or but that, or what is the wisdom, or what is the reason for this or that. No, she immediately embraced what she heard from him. And she herself was extremely instrumental in spreading the message of Islam by providing money, help, and support to all Muslims. Because she was a rich woman, and she used this in dedication or devotion to no other than Islam. So this is Khadija, my sisters. Khadija, with her true devotion to Allah. And no wonder why she became the queen of the Prophet's heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sisters, do you see what a woman is worth in Islam? Don't you see what a woman is worth in Islam? Make Khadija your role model. You know, those who claim that it's only for men, paradise is only for men. Only for men. She was greeted by Allah. She was greeted by Jibril. She was promised a Kasab, a palace in paradise. She was the beauty, the queen of the Prophet's heart. Where is this for men in Islam? Where has it been mentioned about men, like it was mentioned like women, about women? Nowhere. Subhanallah. A woman in Islam is worth a great deal. Let Khadija be your own model. She is the woman you want to follow. She is the woman who will lead you to Jannah bi-idhnillah. Be like her. Love her. Tell yourself, I want to meet Khadija on the day of judgment and tell her, Mother, I loved you so much and I tried to follow your example in obeying Allah and His Messenger. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Khadija, one thing just to mention here, you know, these great women did not have a PhD or a degree in chemistry or in science or in any other secular knowledge. She had no degree. But she had a heart full of faith. And now, nowadays, you see, professors, female professors, with degrees, degree holders, who want to reinterpret Islam. These are Muslims I'm talking about, so-called Muslims, who say that Islam, after they've achieved that degree of theirs, that shaitan of theirs, that balut of theirs, that degree that has destroyed them, destroyed their intellect and their correct, pure way of thinking, they have believed that in Islam, we have to be progressive, or we have to liberalize it, or we have to become secular Muslims, or liberal Muslims, or advanced Muslims, or progressive Muslims, or other social garbage Muslims, satanic Muslims in other words. Because there's no such thing as all these names. This is not Muslim. This is kufr and devil worshipping. You know, they get these degrees. And now they think that they're better than other people. And they want to put their ideas and their intellect before the Quran and Sunnah. They want to reinterpret Islam. Tfaha alaykum. This is kufr, and you are kuffar by doing this. Subhanallah. So which would you prefer to take as your example? Would you take your example as your example, Khadija? Or would you take this PhD degree, who is trying to reinterpret Islam? A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So be like Khadija and earn a place in the heart of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that no one wallahi can ever replace. Another great example, and inshallah we'll leave this at the last of these examples, is Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who did not graduate as well from London University. You know, Aisha did not graduate from London University, nor from Sydney University, nor from the American University, nor from Denmark University, nor from any other Baluch University. They graduated, and she graduated from the University of Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Allahu Akbar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great university to graduate from. She got a degree, a BA degree, a master degree, a PhD degree, a professor degree from no other than Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus, she was a student who attended the scholarly teachings, institution of Muhammad sallam. Today, her utterances, this is Aisha, her utterances, what she said, are studied in faculties of literature throughout the entire globe. And not only that, her opinions, her verdicts, her legal pronouncements are likewise studied in colleges of law all around the world. And she had no PhD degree. She went to no mingling or mixing of universities where she sat down and surrounded by men. Her university was no other than قال رسول الله قال الله تعالى قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Her life is proof that a woman can be far more learned than men, and that she can be the teacher of scholars and experts. Wallahi, sisters, if you study her life, it is also wallahi proof that the same woman who can be so intelligent, so high up there in knowledge, the same woman can be totally feminine and be a source of pleasure, joy and comfort to her husband. You know, out of those who memorized a lot of ahadith, she was one of the four, or among the four, who memorized more than 2,000 sayings. More than 2,000 sayings of the Prophet ﷺ, 2,000 ahadith. This is Aisha bint Abi Bakr. Over 2,000 narrations. And subhanAllah, the companions, many of the learned companions, benefited from Aisha's knowledge. You know, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari once said, the great Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who is known to be one of the most knowledgeable companions of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if we companions had any difficulty on a matter in Islam, we asked Aisha about it. SubhanAllah. We asked Aisha about it. And we know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved her dearly. You know, subhanAllah, she actually was a very, you can say she was jealous. I won't say very, but she was a jealous wife. And she knew wholeheartedly that he loved her more than any other wife. But she would always want reassurance. And it's a typical of a co-wife. You know, you get many co-wives that would like her husband to show security towards her. Like to feel secure, safeguarded, and reassured that, you know, you love me and that you really want me. So she used to always ask him. One of the questions that she asked one day, she said to her husband, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how was your love for me? Ya Rasulullah, do you love me? And he responded, subhanAllah, by saying, my love for you is like the rope's knot. Like what? Like the rope's knot. You know the rope, how strong it is when you put it into a knot? He said, my love for you is that strong. It's like the knot. And it's extremely hard to untie or undo a knot when it's done strongly. So he said, my love is as strong as that knot. It's strong and secure, he told her. And then time after time and time after time thereafter, she would always ask him, Ya Rasulullah, how is that knot today? And you said, SubhanAllah, what a beautiful question. Ya Rasulullah, how is that knot today? You know, is that knot, is it still strong? Has it become loose? Is it weaker? And he would always reply, Ala halihi, Ya Aisha, Ala halihi. In other words, in the same condition, Ya Aisha, in the same condition, SubhanAllah al-Azim. So we ask the Almighty Lord that we take these women, the likes of Aisha, the likes of Khadija, and all of them, to be our role models. Dear sisters, understand something. You know, everyone in this world wants happiness. But what or how is happiness determined? Is it by time or by place? No, it isn't. Happiness is determined only by faith in Allah and obedience to Him. You know, matters that are rooted in a person's heart. What we've got to understand is the heart has a far-reaching significance in that it is the place that the Almighty Lord continuously looks at and scrutinizes. If faith settles itself in the heart, once you see the faith in your heart, wallahi, happiness, contentment, tranquility will pervade both in the heart and the soul. So, happiness in this world is not in what you have. Happiness in this world is in the heart. How much love, how much faith you have for Allah Ta'ala. I'll give you an example of a great scholar, as you all know, Ahmad ibn Abdul Halim ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And in SubhanAllah, for all humans, male and female, his example was one of the greatest. He spent his time on this earth. He had no family. He had no place to call home. No family. No place to call home. He had no wealth. He had no position, rank or status. He had a room adjoining the central mosque that he used to stay at. A slice of bread to keep him going for the day. No food in the sense of big banquets, chicken, you know, taste, which is the lamb, cows, buffaloes, whatever else you may eat. He had none of this stuff. He had only a slice of bread to keep him going for the day, and he had only two garments to wear. So again, no family, no place to call home, no wealth, no position, no room in reality to stay in, a slice of bread to keep him going for the day, and only two garments. Sometimes you'll see him sleeping in the mosque, other times you see him sleeping in that room, that little room. But he had something. And he told us what he had. He said to all of us about his situation when he was asked. He said that his paradise was in his breast. His execution meant martyrdom. Imprisonment was peaceful seclusion. And being exiled from his country meant traveling abroad as a tourist. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. It is such sentiments, I repeat, such sentiments could come from him and only because the tree of faith in his heart had firm and solid roots. See, when a tree is planted, what makes a tree strong and powerful? The roots. The older the tree is, the longer the roots become, or the stronger they become, and the harder to uproot this tree. And likewise, the heart can be likewise. You put faith in your heart, it goes in the middle of your heart, that morsel of flesh that is in your body, and let it become like a tree. The tree, the branches, the roots, let it spread all around the heart. Let it cover the heart. Let that faith become strong and let it knot the heart and connect her to each other, and the connector is faith. And wallahi, wallahi, you will see so much happiness in your life. Wallahi, my dear sisters, what are we asked to do? What are we asked to be? It is not impossible. You know, we don't have to be like our pious predecessors. We don't have to give up everything we own, nor do we have to be or to endure any types of persecution. What is asked from you, what is asked from me, is only for our own betterment in this world and the hereafter. Our happiness lies, O sisters, in being an obedient and believing daughter, a loyal and generous wife, and a pious and merciful mother, and a believing servant, implementing the law of Allah. That is all you're asked of. Do you not know the hadith? When the Prophet ﷺ told us, if the woman prays her five salat, fasts her month of Ramadan, protects herself from committing zina, and listens to her husband, obviously in that which Allah is pleased with, it will be said to her that from any door you will enter paradise. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So, look at your actions, look at your deeds, and ask yourself, do you spend more time worshipping and doing dhikr of Allah, or visiting jewelry and clothing stores to see what is the latest fashion? Is it easier for us or for you to get up to prayer on time, or do you sit lazy and procrastinating before the television? Is the recitation of the Quran heard more in your homes, or the sound of music is heard? Do we encourage our husbands or fathers or brothers or sons or etc. to spend more time and money in the path of Allah, or do we drag them along to the markets and make them spend more money on clothes? Do we compete between ourselves for worldly pleasures, or do we compete for ourselves or against ourselves with good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves? Do we encourage our children to be more secular or to be more Islamic? When we go out of our homes, are we covered with hijab as Allah ta'ala commanded us? Or are we walking with perfume, acting like a fornicatress? وَلَا حَوَّلَ وَلَا كُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Know, sisters, that the kuffar do not know what is better for you. The only one that knows what is better for you is the one that created you. We have to remember this, that Allah is our creator. And Allah who has set these rules for us, He knows what is good for us, what is bad for us. And this is why He imposed upon us obligations. And this is why He commanded us to keep away from His prohibitions, because He knows that which is good and that which is bad. I will leave it at that, inshallah ta'ala. I think I've taken a lot of your time. I ask the Almighty Lord to grant us, inshallah, victory in the life of this and the next. And we ask Him, inshallah ta'ala, that He makes us follow no other the examples of these great people, the companions of Muhammad Sallam. Wa billahi tawfiq. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Awwala, inshallah.